Now this is Channel One Over. This is Channel One Over on David Brinkley and the telephone tape. This is Channel One Over on David Brinkley and the telephone tape. This Sunday, the 26th of September, 71. This Sunday morning, the 26th of September, 71. This is Channel One Over, the beginning of Channel One Over and the telephone and David Brinkley tape.
Of course, it was Thursday, isn't it? So she said, come on up to the house. We'd have some hamburgers, but said she didn't have any buns, so we went down to McIntosh and got the buns and some Coke and things and went up there and had hamburgers.
Uh-huh.
So nobody didn't work hard.
Yeah.
I think they really enjoyed it.
Is Cora gone?
She has. They did. He had to go off at 5 o'clock, but she's on now. How's Lynn's little butt today?
Fine.
Well, good. Has she been to the bathroom?
At your house, she did one hard lump.
Oh, glory!
And now my...
Don't have a fit, you know.
She's had magnesia tablets 3 days straight, and this is the first time she's been.
Oh, my Lord have mercy. Well, we just have to give her some more.
Well, I gave her one more today.
Beats all.
She had been, you know, she's had them for 3 days and hadn't gone.
Well, them things, they must, I don't know. Coke gave me mine. She got two boxes from up there to Gainesville one time, bottles that was on sale. She gave me mine. I just wonder if they've lost the strength or something. I haven't taken one in ages and ages.
Well, mine aren't that old.
Well, these ought not be because she bought them up there at Eckers Drugstore, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bought mine at Hendrick's.
Well, I don't know. I reckon we just have to give her two, but you're afraid to give too much.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Tommy was real sweet to her this evening. He played with her.
Mm-hmm.
We had a pretty good time.
Well, my yard looks like some white people live here again.
Who mowed it?
A.W. did.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
I wondered if he was going to mow it.
He mowed parts of it, not all of it.
Mm.
And I pulled all the weeds around.
Yeah?
And dug that out. Yesterday and today.
I said, you know, I just kind of wondered if Lynn found out that Joe Lynn was going to be a son's girl this morning.
Well, that's what she... You know, I told you she just started crying, said she wasn't cool.
I know that somebody told her that.
Yeah, Flora did yesterday.
That's just exactly what fixed up things in Miss Johnson.
She was all right on the way. She had gone out the door to leave for something.
Miss Johnson told me that they carried that child all the way around, every step.
But
you know, I don't think she can walk.
Mm-mm, she can't. See, they picked her. Lynn was all right. She was going to Sunday school. She walked out the front back door. And she drove up.
Oh, well, I told Coco that I believe that was it.
Well, we didn't know that at that time, you know.
I really thought that was it because I know that, my Lord, she wouldn't go see Steve as long as his was in that care. But we're going to have to do something of it and see if she can see little old Jolene, you know, and get used to the fact that it's all right, but I don't know how we're going to do it, because Louise used to be just like it. Couldn't do a thing in the world with her about anything like that.
Well,
mercy me. Well, I wondered if she didn't hear something like that.
Well, she saw her.
Oh.
But I didn't know that.
My goodness.
And neither did A.W.
Oh.
Huh?
That's bad. I declare. I just kind of had in my mind. I believe that was what it was.
And she was crying and said she wasn't going to Sunday school and so on and so forth. We made her go to her bedroom.
Well, I just believe that was it.
And well, then A.W. went. Made her stay there 2 hours. And he went and asked her what was wrong. And she told him.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And so that's why she got to go late.
Well, I'll declare. Well, she had something. But she has some kind of a... Something other about that, I don't know what. In fact, she don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. And you know, she wouldn't have nothing to do with Tim either. No, sir. Not the first. And had nothing to do with Tim a long time after he got it off. We know how to look at it.
Well, neither would she with Steve.
I did. When he would walk past her, she wouldn't hardly look at him go down the road.
Well, we shall see you.
Okay. Okay, bye. Huh?
I'm tired and so sleepy.
Tired and sleepy? Well, go back to sleep. Where are you?
Coco.
You at Coco's house?
I was at my house. My
mama said. Well, now, Mama had to go to work. Mama done got well.
Yes, she has.
Mama's well now.
Bye.
Oh, what you want to say bye for? You will come see me sometime?
I'm just so sleepy I can't stand up.
Okay, I'll go to sleep then. You can't get waked up, can you? Go to sleep then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We're feeling pretty good.
We're good.
We had a wonderful day yesterday.
Yeah?
Oh, we did have a good time. Everybody was in a good humor.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it was. I heard Mother laugh a half a dozen times. Of course, that baby, he, you know, being at home, he's cuter at home than he is anywhere else.
Yeah.
And he really showed himself. He just did everything. And, of course, he tickled us, you know.
I had company yesterday. Louise and them drove up just as I come back from Fort La Conference.
Well, that's one.
They didn't let nobody know, so that was pretty good. Didn't have to worry about a thing.
No, see, you sure did. That's the way the people come see.
We went up to Coke's and had hamburgers and
well,
French fries. We did have just not a bit of hard work.
Well, I do know.
We all had a good time.
Oh, we sure had a good dinner. I cooked all day Saturday and all day, all yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And I made sweet potatoes and I made squash and cheese. I think that's the best thing, you know, you cook your squash done.
Mm-hmm.
And then put them in the pan and then grate the cheese over them and then bake them.
Yeah.
Well, I fixed that and fixed my marshmallows on the potatoes. And then I took them up there and Peggy heated them, fixed them, you know, cooked them.
Yeah.
And I had the best roast I believe I have ever had.
Hmm.
And gravy and rice and potato. Andy brought potato salad. And I had sliced tomatoes and cucumbers and onions. And we had pickles. Baby brought pickles and olives. And I tell you, and I had mustard greens. And I made cornbread yesterday morning. And honest, those mustard greens are the best things that I have ever tasted. They just melted.
Had Baby told you about that good friend Louise been in the hospital?
No.
Mag?
No, she didn't.
Well, Louise said that she believes Mag's bad off.
Well, she didn't tell. She was all kind of upset about Buck, that's Baby's boss,
yeah.
And Mr. Willis. Well, his girlfriend's daddy died, and Baby was full of that yesterday. She just died.
Well, she said that Mag had been going out there to that old Naval Air Station Hospital or whatever it is out there, you know.
Uh-huh.
And she just got worse and worse and worse, and they finally got her to another hospital in Jacksonville, and they say she's in heart failure now.
Well, I'll be darned.
She said
she'd likes her so
said
much.
Said she'd had a cold for about a couple of months. Well, I reckon she's as good a friend as Louise ever had.
Yeah, she does. She likes all Louise's children.
And Louise just loves her to death and said she felt so bad about it. Said she honestly, she didn't know whether she'd go get well or not.
Well, I'll be darned. Well, Baby likes Meg, and Baby always, you know, she's always hearing from Louise. And
yeah, well, I know that, I know that she's a good person. She really is.
Baby says she is. Baby says she is.
But you know, she's all crippled up with arthritis and everything else, so I don't know what, but her daughter said she'd had a bad cold for about a couple of months, and they hadn't done it one bit of good out there at that Navy hospital.
Well, I'll be darned.
But
no, Baby hadn't said a word about Meg.
Well, she just hadn't thought about it, because I know she knows it.
Baby's been full of herself. You know, she had that terrible cold and had to go get shots. And then this Bobby, we call her Bobby, that's Buck's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Bobby's
Daddy got sick, and he's been in the hospital about a week or more. And baby told me while I was there, but she says, Mother, you know, I just believe he's better. Said we all went over to see him at noontime yesterday, and said I believe he's better. About a year ago now, yeah, just now, the old man got up and his wife didn't get up. They're not real old, they're just in the early 70s. I mean, you know, not old enough. And she didn't get up and she didn't get up. So he went to the door and opened the door and called her. And she didn't answer. So then he went to the side of the bed and Aunt Amy, she was laying there dead.
Oh.
So, of course, that was sad.
Yeah.
And Bobby's got two girls. And her husband left her when the little girls were babies. And she's been divorced from him, I guess, 15, 16 years. And she's raised these two girls. One of them is Checker and Winn-Dixie now. And an awful pretty girl, but she's going to still going to college. And the other girl finishes school this year. So, of course, Bobby doesn't have, you know, any little children and things. They'll be on their own after this year, the children will. And, I just think she's one of the nicest women that I've ever met. She's no kid, you know, she's no kid.
Well, y'all going back today?
Yeah, we're going back. We're going to go on back and spend Mother's birthday with her tomorrow. And Raymond Swazzy's coming back Wednesday. I would love to stay over Wednesday. I would love to get my hair cut. I need it cut, ain't I? And I would like to, I've got a real pretty little dress up there to make.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to, it's got enough cloth to make a little coat with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's some kind of Dacron wool. Looks like wool, but I don't think it is. You know how they fool you, those clothes.
Yeah.
And I want to get a lining for it and a zipper for it and get it to the lady and let her make it for me. I got three nice dresses to make.
Hmm.
And I would like to get them made. I'd like to have something new. Peggy's going to be confirmed in November.
Oh, she is?
Yeah. But she told me yesterday, she said, now I'm inviting everybody here for John's birthday. Said we're going to have it on Sunday so me and Raymond can enjoy it and you all too. Said, I said, well, I'll cook it. I said, you won't have to cook it if you just... And she and Raymond, oh, they were so tickled to see us and glad we came. And it ain't, it wasn't crowded.
Well, that's good.
It wasn't crowded. We put all the meal on the stove and on the sink, you know. And everybody, I helped Mother's plate. And I told Baby, I said, Baby, if she ate all I put on there, I said, she'd eat a dinner. Baby said, Mother, she ate every bite. And I gave her a great big piece of roast beef. And she and Andy said that was the best roast beef they'd ever tasted. And we just had a beautiful dinner. And we just had the best time in the world. And she wants us all to come. His birthday's the 20th of October. But she wants to have his dinner on a Sunday. Because, you know, everybody's old.
Yeah.
Well, they want the phone, ain't it, Agnes? They want to call the doctor.
Yeah.
So we'll let them.
Okay.
Now I'm fixing to go off and I'll be gone 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
And we'll see you just as soon as we get back.
Okay.
Well,
bye-bye.
Hi.
Miss Chitney?
Just a minute.
Hello, this is Guy Miles.
How are you?
All right. Is it bedtime?
We're just playing.
You're just playing?
Yes, sir. Did you want to talk to Mama?
No, I just going to inquire how you're getting along is all.
Yes, sir. Well, glad you called, Mr. Miles. How are you folks doing?
Just fine.
Well, we're able to get a game going.
Isn't that nice?
Yes, sir, it is. We just got started. We're watching Gunsmoke and
yeah.
We'll comment every now and then on the game and on the program.
Well, let me tell you, Margaret, I was so impressed yesterday when they drove by. Aunt Rosalie looked so well.
Yes, Yes, sir, she does. She does look well. She hasn't been feeling too good, though, here 2 or 3 days. I think she's working too hard.
Yeah.
And everything's too
well, let me tell you, I don't want to stop you with your family. I'll catch you sometime when you're not, when you don't hold up the game.
Yes, sir, well, nice to talk to you, Mr. Miles.
Well, I'll catch you again.
How's Ms. Miles?
Well, I don't see much of her now. She's started back to work.
They said that she was in conference or something yesterday.
Isn't that awful on Sunday afternoon?
Uh-huh. It's kind of unusual for meetings on Sunday, isn't it?
I think it ought to be. She had one, then I had one.
Oh, I see. Well, maybe I better not say it's unusual.
Well, it's objectionable, put it that way. But we'll see you.
Okay, it's nice.
Sybil?
Yes, sir.
This guy.
Yeah, how you doing?
Bedtime.
Yeah.
Let me tell you while I've got you up and everything. I just want to inquire about your family.
They all doing fine.
How's Lehman?
He's home, doing real good.
Well, Dad Byrne, isn't that nice?
Yeah, it sure is.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. They all seem to be doing all right now.
And Martin's recuperating everything?
Yes, sir, I think so. He was out to see his mother Friday.
Yeah.
And was doing all right then.
Yeah.
So I guess he must be doing pretty good.
Yeah. Well, yesterday they drove by over here, and Faye wasn't here, and
mm-hmm.
they didn't stay. But I got to see a minute, and Aunt Rosie Lee looks so healthy.
Yeah, she's doing fine.
Gee whiz. Isn't that nice?
Right.
Now, I didn't know how many kids it was. I couldn't hardly tell.
She's doing better. They said she was eating good.
Yeah.
You just got to put it there in front of them and say, let's eat it.
Yeah.
How's your wife?
She started work again now, and I don't see much of her.
Yeah, I know how it is.
And, yeah, isn't that so?
Yeah, well, aren't you working too?
Yes.
Don't you go and come together?
Yeah, no.
Well.
Sometimes I do, but not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I try to.
Mm-hmm.
The cars are so costly, just driving an old car.
I know it
costs
a lot.
Yes. Let me see.
You need to get you a bug like Frank has got.
There's a great many advantages, aren't there?
It is. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been something on my mind that came up when I talked to you last. Since I got acquainted with your daddy, I've run across any number of people who knew him. I remember I was over at McAnulty the other day, and Mr. Weaver
mm-hmm.
was talking, and he said he used to drive the doctors around. And one time, he drove Dr. Roxborough. Well, I said, where'd you drive him? Well, he says, out to Mr. Ben Mixon's. Well, I said, what was wrong out there? Well, he remembered all about it.
Yeah.
They all had the flu, he said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody knows us.
All had the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you remember that?
Well, no, but you know what? My mother didn't have but 14 children.
Yeah.
And she has 11 of them living now.
Yeah.
So that was a big family all the time, you know.
Yeah.
But my daddy died when he was a young man.
Mr. Weaver said he was tall as I am.
Said what?
He said, Mr. Weaver said he was tall like I am.
No, not Ben Mixon. He must be thinking about another Ben Mixon.
No.
Charlie Ben Mixon.
Huh?
He was probably thinking about Charlie Ben Mixon.
Well, he's talking about somebody lived where you all live.
My daddy wasn't too tall.
Wasn't he?
Uh-uh, he was a small man. But he wasn't too tall. He wasn't real tall. But see, this property that we own,
yeah,
used to belong to a Charlie Bennett. So he may have had the two confused, you know. Of course, both a property gone. Ben Mixon and Charlie Ben Mixon.
Oh, how do you know?
So that may be what he's talking about.
Were they related?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Related. But we're living on Charlie Ben Mixon's place now.
Oh, that is Charlie Ben Mixon's place?
Mm-hmm.
And it changed hands several times before you got it.
Well, no, I think we bought it. Mr. May used to live at Macanopy.
Yeah.
He's dead. He owned it. He bought it from some of the family of Charlie Ben Mixon, and then we bought from Mr. May.
Yeah.
And that's on three I know that they've owned it. Of course, it's somebody else, you know. But
well, look,
back there.
Sybil, what is your brother? Who's your brother that owns your home place?
Isaac.
Isaac?
Isaac.
Ike.
Yeah.
Ike, they call him.
Yeah.
Now, what's he going to do with all that property?
Well, he's got cows on it. He farms a little bit of it.
But he doesn't try to make a living there.
No, he has to work out.
He has to hire out like I do.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it is there?
About 130 acres, just like we got.
Oh, really? How does it lie?
Well,
all cleared and everything?
Well, most all of it. He has a little woods back there, but not too much.
Mostly open land?
Most of it's cleared,
Yeah. Yes. You know, I think very often, a lot of time when I'm sitting around here doing it, and I wished I was over there talking to you all. But you know, it's our paths don't cross. Isn't that awful?
I know it. Yeah.
I think one of the nice things about like it was, you know, when Miss Chitty used to go up there and talk to Miss Lily, you see, they were close together.
Yeah.
And she didn't have to telephone ahead.
I know. No.
Just go on. She said, what's her husband's name?
Ben?
Huh?
Ben? Oh, you mean Frank Chitty?
Frank, you know, he'd have to go to town in the wagon or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd just get on it and ride that far.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you, that just makes you feel homesick, doesn't it?
I tell you, we need to go back to those days. We appreciate something.
Yes.
Got too much now.
Yeah.
Got too much. You know, these telephones keep you from visiting, don't they?
Yeah.
And TVs.
Yeah. I tell you, I don't live. I've got so I make it a point not to live around TV.
Well, I don't. Mine's not on tonight, and I hardly ever turned on.
There's no program that I'm going to have to see.
No, me either.
Now, if it comes handy, I'll see the evening news. That's about all. But I'm not going to live around it.
But you know what? That Chitty family loves it.
Oh, really?
Every one of them. Every one of them. Not a one of them that don't love it.
Oh, my.
They can sit there day and night and look at it.
Is that right?
But I can't do it. I just can't.
Yeah.
It's all right at times. Some good food, but most of it's bad.
Most of it is just a bad influence, I think.
It sure is. Bad influence.
I think you're worse off for listening to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, my side of the family, they don't care too much for TV. I hardly ever turned this one on unless we was here.
Yeah. Well, what do you know?
And I wouldn't even have a phone if it wasn't, supposed to have it where I work. You know, with my work.
Yeah.
Of course, it's good and bad about a phone, too, you know.
Now, well, his mama, she likes it, too?
What?
TV.
She loves it.
Just like Willie?
Just like Willie, if not worse.
Well, what is it, Sybil?
They just like movies, always like movies. they used to love to go to these theaters, you know, and see a movie.
Yeah. Oh, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Watch what I tell you, sometime you find out.
Yeah. Well, now, I told Faye yesterday when they came by that Miss Titty was sitting in the front seat there mopping. You know how she mops with that little sweat rag.
Yeah, it's hot.
I said, Faye, Frankie ought to have be more humane than to take his mama out September, his son.
He likes it.
Just out riding, when what she'd like to do is go see somebody.
Yeah, but that's what they've done. They plan to go see you.
And she said no. She said all her folks, when she's growing up, like to get out on Sunday afternoon and take a ride. They didn't want to go visiting.
That's right. That's the way they do. They take a ride every Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. And they don't want to go visiting. They want to take a ride.
Well, they go visiting sometime, but they like to ride around and just look. Since Frank has got his new car, I imagine they will go lots more than they did, you know.
Yeah.
But, well, of course, they, Miss Kitty don't work out, Margaret don't work out, Lama's not working out, seeing Frank is the only one, so it's not too bad on them.
Yeah.
But when you work out, you know, you got so blessed and much to do home.
Yeah.
Well, I like to go out and ride sometime, but just seems like you can't find time for it.
Well, I tell you what, I'd like to go if I was with somebody that knew what they're looking at.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You see, I don't know the countryside.
I know. Well, don't know why we'll ever get where we can. My sister-in-law was over here a while ago. She said, why don't we quit working? I said, oh, you wouldn't quit? Because she's just before ready to retire.
Yeah.
And I said, you'd be stupid to quit, you know.
Yeah.
Because she can retire in a few more months. Not over 20 months at the most.
Well, what you're supposed to do is retire and get another job.
Well, that's what she said she was going to do.
Yeah.
But see, I'm not old enough. I'm too young of a chick.
Well, you're going to have to pay in for the rest of us so we can draw it.
Yeah, I got 4 more years before I can retire, 65.
That's right. We need a little more money in the bank, in the Social Security.
Yeah, I sure need it. I ain't got it.
I'll tell you, does Miss Kitty worry?
Well, yeah, I think so, some, but not like you'd think she would, I don't think.
Last time,
I don't know what she's got to worry about now.
The last time she was over here, I don't know whether she's worried or not, she might have just been amused by it, you see. Unless you know people pretty well,
mm-hmm.
you don't know how to take what to say. She's talking about how much Frankie owed.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what it was. I didn't pay much attention to that. But she enumerated things. She named off several things he owed besides his new car. And I took it right off that she was worried.
Well, why get it if you don't worry about it? In that case?
Yeah.
Because he didn't really have to have the car. His car was running. When they gave him that truck, it's running just as good as ever.
That's right.
But,
take him anywhere he needed to go.
Well, he figured that, you know, it'd probably soon tear up or something. But if you're going to worry about all these things, don't get it.
Yeah. So you don't think she worries too much?
I don't think she, I don't think so, not like that.
Yeah.
I don't think she does.
I wish I could remember. I don't remember things very well. I wish I could remember some of the things that she said Frankie owed for.
Well, he owes for feed and stuff like that. But my goodness, why, well, this is what I tried to tell Willie. If you got the old for feed for your cows, you better sell them old cows. I mean, now you can get it and pay up, you know, every 2 or 3 months, something like that.
Yeah.
But if you can't come ahead with your cows, come out, you don't need them.
Yeah, if you can't sell a cow and come out,
that's right.
You better start all over again.
That's just what I tell Willie. I said, let me tell you one thing. Them old cows ain't worrying me one bit. He sold about 6 last Monday.
Oh, did he?
Young ones.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he said he brought a good cow, so he's real happy with it.
Oh, really?
We had so much music over here, to my goodness. I thought I was on the square in New York.
Oh, you weaned the calves and sold them.
Yeah. He just taken them from the mama and said goodbye.
Yeah.
They hollered for about 3 days.
3 days?
The cows did.
That long?
Sure it did. Like to run us crazy.
Well, mine don't holler that long. Day and night's as much as they ever holler.
Oh, boy. He sure did.
If you get the calves out of sight.
These will come right by Willie's bedroom one and holler. Won't him come out and help them. I said, poor old things. I know how you feel when your babies leave you. You're so lost, you know.
Yeah.
They like to run us crazy. They holler day and night.
Now, you think if I talk to either one of your brothers, I'll talk to Miles?
Either one? No, not especially.
Either one, Ike or Miles?
I told Miles you said you wanted to meet him.
Huh?
I told my brother you said you wanted to meet him and wanted to know how, and I said, I told him just to come on over any night. He said, yeah, I'm just a plain old country boy.
Well, I just want to sit on the step there.
Right? Don't live in a mansion.
Yeah, like...
They got an old house like we got.
Did they, you all built your house?
Yeah, Miles, he had his built too, but his is is older than ours, and Isaac has a new home.
Yes.
But
yeah.
He has the old home place too, right there by him.
Yeah.
Miles wants to sell a piece of property and build, but no thing to get around to doing it.
Well, people got ideas. Now, look, are you satisfied with your house?
Well, might as well to be.
Well, you want a nice house.
No, I would just like to have this one finished, you know.
You know, people can put all their earnings in a house.
You kidding? At least ours is paid for.
Yeah.
We don't owe anything on our land, nothing on our house. Don't owe nothing on my car. Willie's got his paid for.
Yeah. Well, you can go around paying cash, can't you?
Well, if we can't pay, we do that.
I think that's the best way.
I know it is. Well, it's been after me to trade cars. He said he's afraid something's going to happen to mine, you know, and leave me stranded, but...
That'll start you paying again.
Yeah, I got about 72,000 fixing to come up on it. And I've only had it going on the 5th year.
Yeah.
Well, it will be 5 in March.
Yeah.
But I know I need one. I got to buy some tires and got to have some work done on it.
But you all take trips in your car.
Well, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you're going to go to work, you need a nice way to go, you know. Because you need something you can depend on.
That's it.
If you're going to work, because it's a headache. If you get up, your car can't start, you know.
Yeah.
Can't get to work. Somebody else has got to take your place, or somebody goes like you.
Yeah.
But if you get sick, somebody's got to take your place.
Yeah.
But I hope I don't get sick.
It just works the hardship. You know, I found that out a long time ago. You've got to stay healthy.
That's the best thing of all.
And you got to be able to pay your way.
Mm-hmm.
And then then your friends will be glad to see you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you about ready to retire, aren't you?
Well, I could retire, but I wouldn't draw much.
Well, with your retirement, your Social Security, you could show live.
Wouldn't live.
It's better to live on a little bit and enjoy it every day and eat some dried beans and bread than to have, you know, and not be happy.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, see, I don't have a little community like you all do.
Why? It's just as good around now.
Well, it could be, but you see, you all got such a nice community.
Well,
the nice. You see, you all can go. You know, I used to when I first came out here. I could sort of live around going to church once a week and Sunday school. I got to see people and talk.
Well, I tell you where you can buy one.
Yeah.
Right over here joining mine and Willis and Isaac's place. Belonged to another Nixon.
What is it?
I don't know how many acres it's got. It's not as much as ours, but it's got a frame house on it like ours.
Yeah.
Got a pump. Got some fence around, you know.
Yeah.
Not new fence, but it's been fenced.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice place to retire, you know, and enjoy life.
Well, let me tell you, I have been, had a mind to let this one go. It's too much of it over here.
Yeah, it is. I tell you, Mr. Miles, at your age, it's bad to have that much and work yourself to death and make yourself sick.
Well, you know, as long as I feel good, I enjoy it. But
yeah,
every time I get on the back and can't lift a sack of feed,
you're kidding.
I got nobody lifting for me.
Well, why can't you just have a feel like Willie and enjoy it better?
That's right. Where is that place at?
It's right over here, right? Well, it's, you know where you told me you come by my home place that night with Miss Titty?
Yes.
And you got down at that grade and you turned back to the left?
Yes.
Well, it's right there to the left when you turn.
Oh. And it's not on the hard road.
Mm-mm.
Well, now that's what I'd want to do. I want to get off the hard road. I won't want to be on the hard road.
Well, you would enjoy that place because it has, it has two bedrooms, a small living room, and your dining room, and kitchen, and bath, and a front porch and back porch.
There's a new house?
No, it's not a new house.
Old house.
It's an older house, but it's good material in it.
What do you call old? Old as this one?
Well, I imagine it's about as old as yours, but look at the material you got in your house and these new ones.
Yeah, this one goes back to 1890.
You've got good lumber in that house.
Oh, man, alive.
You know, over here in this one, it's sealed around a little tiny ceiling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's narrow.
Yeah.
And we had people just moved out of it. I mean, I hadn't been in it in a long time, but a little bit, the fog picked it up, you know.
Sure. Oh, gee whiz, who owns it?
Well, a real estate company's got it right now. Willie knows it. Willie does some work for me once in a while.
For who?
For the man that owns it, the real estate company.
Oh, the real estate company owns it?
Well, yeah, they got it up for sale, you know.
But they don't own it.
Well, they're selling it. They bought it. Somehow they bought it, and this guy from Ocala is trying to sell it, you know.
Oh, I see.
Got it up for sale.
Who owned it?
I don't know his name. Willie knows.
Who did own it? No, but none of your neighbors.
No, uh-uh. Well, see, my cousin lived there, and they sold his house. They sold it to this, I don't know, somebody, real estate or something.
Yeah.
And then they were going to resell it. You know how they do these things.
Oh, yeah.
And they've had people to move in there that would think they'd gone by it, and they'd soon get, you know, young people, they'd get out and go again.
Yeah. But your cousin owned it?
Sure did.
For a good while?
Yep.
How long?
Owned it all their life. He died, and she's in the rest home at Williston now.
Oh.
They have one son living. He's down at Leesburg.
What was that name?
Nixon.
Which Nixon is that?
Charlie Nixon.
Charlie.
Not
he?
Charlie Ben, that Charlie Mix.
Yeah, yeah.
He joins Willie's land, and you know Bill Anson lives right here by us.
Yeah.
Joins Bill Anson's land and Willie's land and my brother's land.
Well, let me tell you, maybe your brother wouldn't be as busy as all your chitty relations. Maybe he'd walk around the neighborhood and show me where people live.
Well, if he has time, you know, he works just like we all do.
Well, that's the trouble. Everybody works, don't they?
Why don't you come over sometime and let Willie carry down and show you that place?
Oh, Willie's got so many things on. And
he got
that little granddaughter. That's the thing that takes his time.
Well, she's not out here all the time. She was out here Saturday, but she's not out here all the time.
I'm telling you, she's bird.
I know. She's been having a creep a little bit, and she come out Saturday, and she's on the ball.
Yeah. All right.
That's a good farm place.
Yeah.
So they've had a good farm, you know, stuff turned out there.
Yeah. Well, that sounds right interesting.
She's got some few trees on it right now that, you know, come up in the fields where it hadn't been, you know, tended to.
Yeah.
But it's a good place for a small amount of cows.
Yeah.
I mean, now, I don't mean just 4 or 5, maybe 15 or 20, something like that.
Yeah. Well, what interests me, I'm sort of tired of cows.
Yeah.
Is, you know, they work you. People who don't own cows don't realize that,
yeah,
do they?
Yeah, I know. That's what I tell Willie. I said, of course, Willie likes to just piddle around with them.
Yes. But
it's like you say, when it really gets you down.
Yeah. He also makes a few trips for feed for them.
Yes, he does, yeah.
What I'd like is a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that a long time ago.
Well, you come by that place and you'll be surrounded by Mixons, except we got a party that lives on the right there when you turn to the left.
Yeah.
But they good too. They don't miss nobody.
Is that right?
That's right. They don't miss nobody.
Yeah.
We got a good community, I tell you.
Yeah. There's not many left.
Well, I know, but what's here is all right.
And more horse farms than there are communities.
I know. But anybody that wants just a small place to, you know, be able to get out and retire something, that's a place for them.
Well, now, over there where Everett lives, there's no community there.
Well, Everett's about the only one that lives there. I mean, he's got a brother that lives up there by him.
Yes. But see, that's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, outsiders have bought it. And
yeah. But I tell you, I don't blame y'all, because I know that place is hard to keep over there. Like you say, if you don't keep up with it, it really gets away from you.
Yeah.
And when you get laid, you're not able to.
Yeah.
Unless you're able to have it all done. All right, done.
Yeah, and I don't know how you do that.
Well, I tell you, we've enjoyed our few little old acres out here we've had cleared, you know.
Yeah.
And really planting with the cows.
Yeah. It looks to me like you all showed a lot of judgment and not put money into all that old, you know, high price stuff. It just keeps you strapped for years.
Well, there ain't no sense in that. Well, the future anymore, what have you got to look for?
That's it.
You better enjoy these next few years best you can.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Because if you get out and work yourself to death, well, that's just going to be tough for you, because when you get a little older, you're going to say, Lord, I wish I'd listened and I'd have slowed down.
Well, now, let me tell you, what about this? You better enjoy these next few years while these people are around you.
I know.
Because you don't know who the next ones will be.
That's right. That's the reason we try to get people in that, you know something about them.
But now you think about that every now and then, don't you?
We sure do.
Willie thinks about it, huh?
We think about it all the time.
Willie thinks about it too, doesn't he? But he don't talk about it.
Well, yeah, he does. See, I got a niece on the right, on the left of me, a lot right of me coming in.
Yeah.
I got a niece there, and I got Bill Anderson here. We've known him all our life. And back behind us, there was Charlie Mixon's place, and they was cousins to us, and in my home place, and Everett's got a little place back of my niece there, and we all surrounded.
Yeah.
And Troy Pons has bought this place, you know, coming in here that's cleared on the left coming in.
Yeah.
He's bought that, and Mr. Man from making up. He's got this place right across in front of us, so we all right.
What's Troy Burns going to do with it?
He's farming it. He's got cows out there.
Well, that's lucky, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
And he don't need to move it.
No. Mm-hmm. He lives at Irvin. He can go and come.
Yeah.
Not far at all.
Well.
But this place has been up for sale. Charlie Nixon's place.
Uh-huh. Well, that sounds interesting. I just love to see about it.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed the visit.
Yeah, you never know. Somebody might drop in and get it, and it'd be gone.
Yes. You don't want to put it off. If you're interested, you go just move, wouldn't you?
Well, see, it hadn't been anybody on there that farmed has done anything in, you know, good many years.
Yeah.
And, of course, a little bit of work, it'd be a pretty place, just like it always has.
Yeah.
They got some timber on there, too.
Yeah. Is the, have you got the price up like the horse farm stuff?
Well, I really don't know, Mr. Miles.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing, it's good farmland.
The horse farms have just ruined that country, the prices, you know.
Yeah, it's good farmland.
Well, that's it. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you, I enjoyed the visit.
Yes, indeed. Y'all come over here.
All right.
Tell your wife I said hi.
I'll do it.
Okay, bye-bye.
All over. We've been waiting for many days for the Chinese to say what's been going on in Peking, and it looked as though an answer to the mystery might be coming this morning. But the Chinese now seem to be saying that announcement will not come until tomorrow. And in Moscow, something's up with the Russians. Last night, they canceled a full-dress Kremlin reception for Indira Gandhi of India, and instead, the top leaders of the Soviet Union met, one is tempted to say huddled, in the VIP lounge at a Moscow airport. Strange goings on in two capitals. Are they connected? I'll have more on this in a minute.
Then, John Chancellor.
We now have more details on the schedule switching which went on yesterday afternoon in Moscow, and the story is unusual, interesting, and puzzling. It begins when Prime Minister Indira Gandhi of India arrived in Moscow for a state visit. When she landed, she was told that the dinner, which was to have been held in her honor at the Kremlin, a full-dress show with all the protocol the Russians can lay on, would have to be canceled. That's unprecedented for the Russians, who do these things rigidly by the book. And later in the day, with Mrs. Gandhi safely tucked away in the Indian embassy, Soviet President Podgorny and Soviet Premier Kosygin drove out to Vnukovo Airport to meet the plane carrying to Moscow Soviet Party Chief Brezhnev. Reporters saw them go into the VIP lounge at the airport. Other diplomats saw their cars returning to downtown Moscow later in the evening. And the Associated Press calculates that the meeting in the VIP lounge lasted about 2 hours. The question is, what caused the three most powerful men in the Soviet Union to cancel a big and important diplomatic reception and spend 2 hours in what must have been very urgent talk in an airport waiting room? Why was it necessary for Podgorny and Kosygin to meet so quickly with Brezhnev? Was Brezhnev afraid he'd miss the party from Mrs. Gandhi? He did, in fact, get back in time to have gone. So that doesn't make much sense. It's possible that they talked about the British government's expulsion of 105 Russian spies. A few hours after their meeting, the Soviet foreign minister met in New York with the British foreign minister, and maybe their man needed instructions. But that doesn't seem urgent enough. Brezhnev was just back from Yugoslavia and Eastern Europe, but his report on that trip surely didn't call for an emergency airport conference. So we are left with the possibility, but only that, that events in Peking may have caused the extraordinary meeting at Vnukovo Airport. But it's only a possibility. The interesting and frustrating thing about speculation of this kind is that we may never know the real answer. John Chancellor, NBC News.
Planning the new economic controls, they might think about not merely freezing prices where they are, but bringing some of them down. Back in a minute.
Moment. The second biggest industry in Washington is planning what to do when the 90-day freeze on wages and prices is over. Hundreds of people are working on it. That's the second biggest. The biggest, of course, is what it's always been, spending the public's money. But there's nothing new in that. As for the new economic controls to take effect on November 15th, the White House and a lot of others are trying to figure out how to keep wages and prices on some steadier course, reduce unemployment, end the foreign trade deficit. That is, buying more abroad than we sell abroad, a new problem for Americans. The whole question is extremely difficult because they are not only economic, but political questions and even psychological. Obviously, if the plan is to enjoy public support from the unions and all others, it must not only be fair, but must also seem fair, two qualities that don't always go together. When the present freeze was announced, they froze wages but did not freeze profits. George Meany of the AFL-CIO charged that working people were forced, therefore, to make all the sacrifices, that management was not, because its profits were not frozen. Well, wages have risen dramatically in recent years, while profits have fallen to the lowest point in about 30 years. Beyond that, freezing wages is relatively easy, while freezing profits is almost impossible, because no one knows in advance, until the end of the year, that he actually has any profits. Nevertheless, it did not seem fair, and Meany complained. So on November 15th, something will have to be done about that, if only for the sake of the appearance of fairness and the actuality of fairness. The only way anyone knows how to freeze profits is to put on an excess profits tax, a system almost everyone agrees is a bad one. For one reason, it encourages business simply to squander money to avoid paying it in taxes. They'll go in for wasteful and extravagant advertising, entertaining, and so on. An alternative is far more attractive, but also difficult. That is to require business, instead of paying taxes on its excess profits, to put its excess profits into reducing prices. It's hard to do, but if a way could be found, it would be beneficial to everyone. It would make the dollar worth more, reduce the pressure for higher wages, reduce the inflation, help those, retired and otherwise, living on fixed incomes, and help the poor as well as the prosperous. An excess profits tax merely drains more money into the treasury. Putting the money into lower prices would instead put the benefits into the pockets of all Americans, and they really ought to try it. David Brinkley, NBC News, Washington.
The White Electric Place Dan gave him?
Yes, sir.
And he didn't have him there.
Uh-huh.
All right. When I got ready to come up, I had to go to O'Kella, you know. I said, I'll pick it up down in O'Kella. I know a place down there. I was going to pick it up down there. I didn't try the food place after White Electric didn't have it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I got in O'Kella there in a place. Before I got to O'Kella, it was 6 minutes after 5, and the place cold.
Yeah.
It closed 5 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And it was 6 minutes after 5 o'clock. I said, I would be on looking to make that.
Yeah, well.
So I got two more places there in Gainesville. I try them places when I get in Gainesville.
All right. That's okay. I try to squeeze over to get by here.
Yeah.
And tell your kid, yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right, that'll be fine, yeah.
You gonna pick the okra in the morning?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I need some okra too.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna pick the first thing in the morning.
Okra.
All right. Look at him.
Uh-huh.
Did you bring any empty bag along with you?
Yeah, I got some. How many you need?
Well, if you can, when you come through. When you come back this way,
yeah,
bring about 15 or 20, yeah.
All right.
Cause I'm gonna still wanna pick off peanuts right on as full as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh. So that'll give me something to keep going on with the okra and the peanuts.
Yeah.
All right.
Well. All right then.
All right. I appreciate it. Many as you can if you can.
Services. Yes, may I speak to Mrs. Willamette Townsend?
Just a moment.
And tell her that this is her grandson.
Sorry, she's not in the clinic. Ma'am?
Sure.
Yes?
Well, now, do you know where she might be? Because this is very important.
I don't know where I can reach her. I can put in a page for her. Are you calling long distance?
Yes.
Okay, let me take your number and I'll have her call you back.
591-1554.
Okay, and who's calling, please?
Royal Colbert, her grandson.
Royal Colbert?
Yes, ma'am.
C-O-B-B-A-R-T?
No, C-O-L-B-E-A-R-T.
Okay. I'll tell her to call you as soon as I get a hold of her.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
The administration has decided there should be a federal agency for consumer affairs, but how strong will it be? The White House has changed signals on the issue of consumer affairs. It has now decided that there should be a federal consumer affairs agency. In theory, it will represent and defend the rights of consumers, who are probably the least represented and defended group in this country. It's incredible how interest groups of all kinds, especially labor and business, have been formed and have been effective in this country, while there has been no such movement for the largest interest group, we consumers. It was not too long ago, and only after many years of effort, that some senators and congressmen finally managed to push a Truth in Packaging bill through Congress, a bill which promised that we would not be taken by false or misleading packaging and claims of manufacturers. In other words, that we get what we pay for. There are other federal agencies, of course, which make sure that advertising claims are not lies and that drugs and foods are not harmful. But there is still a vast area where the consumer is exposed to the claims and practices of manufacturers without being able to do anything about it. Ralph Nader has tried to do something about that, and so have other private consumer organizations. And they have been amazingly successful considering their size. But what Nader and others have also done is awake an awareness among consumers that they not only have a voice, but they have power. And so the question is whether President Nixon's decision to support a federal consumer agency is really aimed at giving consumers power at the government level, or whether it is merely a gesture to give the appearance that the administration is doing something. That will depend on the powers of the new agency. In the proposed bill, the agency's greatest power will be to intervene on behalf of consumers in courts and before federal regulatory agencies. It will also carry out tests and surveys on products. Again, though, the question is how much a consumer agency will be able to intervene on behalf of consumers and how energetically it will be in intervening and testing products. A person can be skeptical about this because President Nixon has not been noted for criticizing or limiting business practices. And since Mr. Nixon will presumably be the one to appoint the heads of the new consumer agency, you wonder how pro-consumer they will be. One certain thing is that Ralph Nader will not be one of the appointees. He has already charged that the proposed legislation has been stripped of the real powers required to make a consumer agency effective. Business, on the other hand, is concerned about any consumer program. The issue, of course, is the fundamental one in our country. How controlled and regulated should business be when our prosperity depends on business prospering? Business does have to prosper, true, but also to balance the economic equation, there has to be a place for the consumer, and right now, there is not. Garrick Utley, NBC News, New York.
Requirement that all Supreme Court justices have to be men, or even that they all have to be lawyers. Pains to say several times, eligible women will be given full consideration. They're making quite a point of this, in fact, and so we take it the new demands among women, some women anyway, are being listened to, at least being talked about. Whether or not a woman is actually appointed is another matter, and as yet there is no news on that. John Gardner, who was in the Kennedy cabinet and is now as head of a citizens' lobby called Common Cause, sent the White House a wire urging a woman be appointed. A lot of others, male and female, have made the same suggestion. One problem for any president in staffing the Supreme Court is that he prefers, of course, a person more or less of his own political and philosophical views, liberal or conservative or whatever. And since there are relatively few women lawyers and even fewer women judges with some judicial experience, that makes it more difficult for him to find the kind of political philosophy he wants. Or whether or not there is a woman judge anywhere who has that precise combination of qualities, we don't really know. But in any case, this could be one appointment where minorities would not be a factor, as they often are. On the contrary, women, as we all know, are the majority in this country. It is often said a person's race or religion or sex should not be a reason against choosing him or her, and that therefore none of these should be a reason for choosing, and that all appointments should be made entirely on the basis of ability, not race, religion, or sex. Well, we all know that's pure hypocrisy, often stated but more often violated, and that thousands of appointments everywhere have been made because a person was of a particular race or religion or national origin. It happens all the time, on the Supreme Court and elsewhere. So, assuming she is otherwise qualified, a person's sex might indeed be a reason for choosing in this case, simply because no woman ever has been on the court. Increasingly, women feel they are not treated fairly, as often they are not. Instead, the court has got an unbroken line of male lawyers. In my own view, there's no reason why everyone on the court has to be a lawyer. Nothing in the Constitution requires it. And a lot of the questions reaching the court are not really legal questions at all, but questions of history, sociology, psychology, philosophy, and a lawyer is not necessarily expert in all of these fields, or in fact in any of them. They shouldn't all have to be lawyers, and they shouldn't all have to be males. David Brinkley, NBC News, Washington.